Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. And it is Tuesday, May the 17th. In action this past weekend, everything was down at the Monster Mile. And it actually turned out to be a pretty exciting weekend for Sprint Cup Series, as well as the Camping World Truck Series on Friday and the Xfinity Series on Saturday. But and down in Atlanta, the NHRA was in action. For the Southern Nationals. Summit Equipment Southern Nationals. In Atlanta. So, well, let's start with that first. Talk about that. Fuel Division. Doug Kalita and J.R. Todd squared off in the final round of eliminations. It was waiting to, it was pretty different because went from watching the Cup race over to the Summer Nationals on Fox Sports 1 and instead of having to wait till the middle of the night or late in the evening to catch it on ESPN. Run them a little earlier in the day. But anyway, it was Doug Kalita and J.R. Todd. Their roads to the elimination round went as follows. Todd went up against Kyle Wurtzel in round one. Todd, of course, being the number three qualifier over the weekend, and Doug Kalita was the number one qualifier. I don't have a pole position, so it's always a number one through 16. So that being said, Todd, who was the number three, faced off against the number 14 challenger in round one. Then it got a little more interesting in a really close race in round two when he went up against Brittany Force, who last won at the Four Wide Nationals in Charlotte. That's given her two wins this year. So she was a force to be reckoned with. But as it turned out, J.R. Todd wind up beating her in a close one with his 375 ET to her 378. So 3/100ths of a second difference. The reaction times for both of them were pretty much even. Todd with an 067, Brittany with an 068. Into round three in the semifinals, Todd went up against Sean Langdon, beating him by a good bit, 378 to Langdon's 381. That's a pretty big gap when you're talking tenths of a second there and down the drag strip. On the other hand, Doug Pulitta, who qualified number one, he wound up running against Terry Haddock, who had a problem, broke off the line, so cruised to a easy first round win, turning to 373. I was almost off the low ET of the weekend when Toledo turned to 373 with a 1. So we're smoking it down there at 328 miles an hour. Round two, he went up against the Sarge. Tony Schumacher was the number 8 qualifier. Schumacher beating Leah Pritchett in round one, who found a ride with, believe it or not, Don Schumacher Racing. So she went up against her teammate, and of course, Schumacher won. That was a not that close a race. Pritchett turned to 395 with makeshift stuff from the, as they put together something. So it'll be good to see her in the up and coming weeks. She does have one win this year in the top field division, which was when she was driving for Bob Vandegrift, but they folded up shortly after that, after their sponsor dollars ran, the ownership wound up, sponsor's owner died, and forcing Vandegrift to close up shop, leaving an event winner hanging in the lurch. It really is kind of sad. Same kind of deal when Alan Abbey's sponsor, with Sheiks from the country of Qatar, pulled out right before the start of the season last year. So it left Sean Langdon in a lurch, running all the way up until the countdown began and have to get a new ride. And of course, he went with Don Schumacher Racing. So I guess Don's picking up some top-notch drivers, so he's always got some he's got a good stable of drivers, just whether he can get enough cars in there. But anyway, Pulitta beat Schumacher in a close one. It was a 378 with a 2 for Pulitta in round 2. Schumacher had a 378 with a 9. So you're looking at 7/1,000 of a second. Schumacher had the better reaction time, but not by much. It was only 5/1,000 of a second off the tree. So an 068 for Pulitta, 063. So it wasn't enough to give him a whole shot. It probably made that ET a little closer, but the car went as fast as it was going to go, and he would have had to beat him by a few 100ths of a second. And then in the semifinals, Pulitta went up against Antron Brown, who's the defending champ. So Antron had a tough time in that one, posting a 983 to Coletta's 377. Coletta running fairly consistent throughout the rounds, and then facing off J.R. Todd in the final. J.R. Todd and Coletta off the tree a little quicker with an 050 to J.R. Todd's 071. That 2/100ths of a second difference gave Pulitta the whole shot win, because he turned a 380 to Todd's quicker ET of a 378, but 0.2 made a big difference getting down there. So the actual slower car crossed the finish line first, just because of the way the reaction time off of the tree. In the funny car event, Matt Hagen faced Jack Beckman in the finals, the road to the finals for Beckman. Beckman, the number one qualifier, up against Jim Campbell, the 16th qualifier in round one. Nothing major there. Beckman with a 391. Jim Campbell turning an 838. Usually that's it. But it was nothing fancy there, and just smoking the tires going down the track. Will cost you a lot of time. Beckman in round two faced against, went up against Ron Capps, who beat John Force in round one. That's the eighth and ninth qualifiers, right in midstream right there. It was a close one there with Beckman getting Capps with a 398 with a 9 and Capps with a 399 with a 2. Beckman with a 1/10 of a second reaction time advantage. But he was still quick enough to beat Capps. But getting off the light didn't hurt. Then up against Tommy Johnson Jr. Beckman with his 396 over Johnson, 399. It was just a flat-out win by 3/100ths of a second for Beckman. The reaction times were in the same ballpark. 065 for Jack, and Tommy had an 063. On the other end of the ladder, Matt Hagen, who wound up being the number two qualifier, went up against Chad Head in round one and winning by 0.4 of a second. Actually, with his 390 to Head's 434. Then he went up against defending champ Del Worsham in round two. A little closer, but her reaction time still didn't get past Hagen, who wound up with a 392 to Worsham's 397 there. And then in the semifinals, he went up against the defending event winner. Well, not defending event winner. Courtney Force, who won last time out in Phoenix. Not Phoenix. What am I saying? Last time out. Anyway, she won. Was the last time winner. I have to go back and check the schedule. She had a 584 to Hagen's 393, and then they set up the stage for in the finals with Beckman with Beckman having problems and running a 8.0. Matt Hagen ran 3.96, which was basically consistent with what he's done throughout the day, giving him the Wally. Pro stock, it was Jason Line and Greg Anderson again, a couple of teammates there. Greg Anderson, the number one qualifier. Jason Line dialed in at number two. And round one, Greg Anderson went up against V Gaines and took him out by 1/10 of a second. Even with a way slow reaction time, Anderson had a 105. V Gaines had an 053. That kind of difference could cost you a whole shot win. In round two, Anderson had a bye round. Kenny Delta, who beat Shane Gray, had problems and couldn't make the... No, Shane Gray couldn't make it, so he gave Anderson the bye round, and Delta went up against Chris McGahey, who wound up beating Erica Enders in round one. That's poor, feeling pretty bad for Erica. She's had a rough time this year, and this isn't like her. She's coming off defending two titles, winning 8 times last year. She was the 10th, number 10 qualifier, and usually she's up around 1, 2, or 3. I think they bit off a little more than they can chew when they switched to Dodge. She hasn't gotten past the second round to get her on and talk to her about that. I don't know if she wants to talk about maybe second-guessing her manufacturer change, but that's a team decision. They brought in Jay Coughlin, I guess, who he's the other Dodge in the camp with Drew Skillman, still running the Chevy Camaro, and Skillman having not too good a day. He turned in 8.9 to Coughlin 6.64. So there's something there that not dialed in since they've got the fuel injection and went with the Mopar versus the Chevy. But anyway, in the semifinals, Greg Anderson went up against Kenny Delco, who got bumped down to against Chris McGahey. And wound up fouling out, jumping the gun on the tree. But he did turn a 6.66 to Anderson 6.58. Either way, once you hit the red light, you're disqualified no matter what time you post. So that set up the matchup with teammate Jason Lyon. Of course, Lyon, round one, went up against John Gadosh, squared off against Jed Coughlin, who beat teammate Drew Skillman in round one. This one wasn't even close. Lyon beat Coughlin in round two by a full tenth of a second, even though he was that late off the tree. It's just kind of weird. Coughlin and Enders went to Dodges, and this year, Lyon and teammate Greg Anderson went to Chevys after running Dodges last year. So something happened there. But Lyon getting the best of Coughlin, heading against another Dodge driver, Alan Johnson. This one was a bit closer. Lyon turned a 6.60 to Johnson 6.65. Greg Anderson. Anderson in the final turned a quicker ET with a 6.59 to Jason Lyon 6.61. But here's the kicker, the reaction time. Anderson 0.58, not too shabby. Jason Lyon 0.15, 0.4 of a second. Anderson's reaction times off the tree haven't been stellar. That was his best this weekend in the eliminations, but wasn't good enough. Jason Lyon gets another win under his belt. So in the points right now, Top Fuel, Doug Toledo leads Antron Brown by 64 points. Brittany Force down to third after coming in second. Of course, after the four wide, she was in first and then had a tough time last week and dropped down to second. And a rougher weekend. This another rough weekend puts her in third place. She's only 68 back, so it's, as long as she keeps it close, anything can happen in the next event. They head out to Topeka, but more on that in a little bit. Steve Torrance, fourth spot, J.R. Todd, went to the finals, fifth. Clay Milliken, sixth, seventh, Tony Schumacher. Then Tony Schumacher, seventh, Richie Crampton is eighth. Leah Pritchett is ninth, and Terry McMillan rounds out the top ten there. In 11th is Sean Langdon, a point behind McMillan, so that could turn. But a 293 and 94 points back, trying to win a... In the reseed, it'll bunch it up a little bit better, but... it won't make a difference. Depends, you know, you have to see the consistency of the runs throughout the season, so... In the funny car division, Courtney Force, who went to the semifinals, leads Jack Beckman, who went to the finals and lost to Matt Hagen. She leads him by 40 points, so she's hanging tough in the points lead. Tim Wilkerson is in the third spot. Ronnie Capps in the fourth. Fifth is Robert Height. Del Warsham, defending champ, is sixth. John Force is seventh. Eighth, Alexis DeGioia. Ninth, Matt Hagen. And 10th is Tommy Johnson Jr. It was a nice feature during watching the race yesterday. Watching the elimination, I call it that instead of a race. Because it's a bunch of races all in one. They were talking a feature on the women of the NHRA, and it started out with Shirley Muldowney winning in the top fuel division, and then Angel Sampei and Pro Stock Motorcycle, who's actually the winningest woman in the NHRA. She's got more wins than any of the other females over a span of her career, but she's done it on a bike, which is, you know, you can't say too much, but the competition level these days in on super on pro stock bike is, and then Ashley Force after that wound up being in there, and then of course then Courtney. And Alexis DeGioia, three women in funny car as that are winners, and Brittany Force this year in top fuel with Leah Pritchett, so, and of course Erica Ender Stevens in pro stock. Showing the number of women who have actually won events in the NHRA, even though, and then to talk about IndyCar and NASCAR, where the women compete. And the only other woman who's won in IndyCar, believe it or not, is Danica Patrick. When the series went to Twin Ring Motegi in Japan, she won there, so. As far as NASCAR in the top three series, not only are there very few women, but they haven't gotten a win under their belt to carry the banner. Points pro stock, Jason Lyon, of course, leading the points, 96 over teammate Greg Anderson, 259 over third place Bo Butner, who's also their teammate, all driving Chevys. Drew Skillman in fourth spot, Elite Motorsports. Chris McGahey in fifth, Alan Johnson in sixth, the leading points getter of the Dodges. There's three in the top ten. The rest are Chevys. Ken Coughlin, seventh, is the other next Dodge with Elite Motorsports. Of course, Drew Skillman's teammate. I don't understand how two people from that team can run one manufacturer and then a third run the different manufacturer. And eighth is Vincent Nobile. Ninth, Erica Enders. and 10th, Alex Lachlan. So there's your top 10 in points for all the top three in NHRA. Pro Stock Motorcycle, Eddie Krawick leads teammate Andrew Hines. Of course, Krawick getting the win yesterday. Hector Arana, third, fourth, Gerald Savoie, fifth, Chip Ellis, sixth, Angele Sampei, the winningest woman in the NHRA, seventh, L.E. Tonglet, eighth, Matt Smith, ninth, Karen Stover, and tenth, Scott Polachek. From Atlanta, we head north. Of course, the next race is the Kansas Nationals out at Heartland Park in Topeka. I know who probably might be going to that one. It's Summer Beggood, who writes for Front Stretch. She used to do the show back when I was up north on WNJC. She did the show with me a couple times. And she's a pretty good reporter. Check her columns out on frontstretch.com. We'll give them a plug. And then after Heartland, they go up to New Hampshire. The first weekend in June, which is actually their Memorial Day, which they have off, actually, that weekend. And then the week after New England in Epping, they go to the Summer Nationals at Old Bridge Township Raceway Park in Englishtown, New Jersey, one of the iconic tracks of the NHRA. That track's been around a long while, and it's one of the places teams like to win. That looks like it will, and it will be the Father's Day event, as it always is. So, who will win there? Larry Dixon, who, since leaving Allen Abbey, hasn't won there, but it used to be a track that was favored of his. We remember having him on after that win a few years back. I think it was 2010 or 2011. But anyway, I can go to my old archives and dig that show up. So that takes care of the NHRAs. And then we leave Atlanta, head up I-95. And wind up at the Monster Mile. Crafton wound up taking the Jacob Company's 200. And we had Mike Lewis talking about the weekend and what was coming up, and Jacob Company signed on for the race. Ollie's signed on for the Xfinity race, and of course, AAA Drive for Autism in the Sprint Cup Series race. I remember when they started doing that for them, when Jamie McMurray held a press conference for the organization to fight autism. The little jigsaw puzzle piece. Little blue one. But Matt Crafton wound up taking the checkered flag and the little monster trophy. Surviving the 200 laps. Led once for 78 laps. Of course, he didn't lead the most. That went to pole sitter William Byron. Who's a rookie. A lot of rookies in the race. Christopher Bell finished third. William Byron 11th, Rico Abreu in 22nd, Ben Rhodes. I guess he's running as a truck series rookie. He wound up driving the 88 Xfinity car for Dale Jr. last season a couple of times. And then the last rookie was Austin Wayne Self, who was up from the ARCA series, finishing in the 32nd spot. NASCAR chopping four positions off the Camping World Truck Series this season, and three off the Xfinity and Sprint Cup Series. Used to be 43 starters forever, and this year they made it. They chopped it down to 40. Series in the Xfinity Series spread out the pit stalls. They had to repaint all of them because give them a little more room. But Daniel has so craft in winning. Daniel Suarez was your runner-up. Christopher Bell finished third. Johnny Sauter, fourth. Cole Custer, fifth. Spencer Gallagher, sixth. Tyler Reddick, seventh. Ryan Truex, Martin Jr.'s brother, finishing eighth in the Sea-Watch Toyota. That's his father's company. You probably noticed their products on your store shelves under the brand CPAC. So good old Ryan finished 8th, 9th, Daniel Hemric, and 10th, Kaz Grala, who is Spencer Gallagher's teammate. The race took 1 hour, 47 minutes, and 45 seconds, an average speed of 111.369. It was pretty close, margin of victory, half a second. There were six cautions for 29 laps and three lead changes amongst four drivers, which for Dover in a truck series race is surprisingly clean. After covering Dover for so many years and having to watch the race on TV now, it's amazing that, and following the truck series, with the tightness of the competition, it is pretty amazing how they can get away that clean at that track. So in the Camping World Truck Series points, in leads, Timothy Peters, Daniel Hemric, Ryan Truex up in fourth, Spencer Gallagher fifth, William Byron sixth, John Hunter Nemechek seventh, Tyler Young eighth, Christopher Bell, 9th, and Tyler Reddick in 10th. Crafton, Byron, and Nemechek have wins, with the chase coming to the Truck Series as well as the Xfinity Series. Should reseeding and the chase start today, Crafton, Byron, and Nemechek would be the top seeds. Of the year standings, I mentioned all those rookies earlier. William Byron leads that field with 64 points. His closest competitor, Christopher Bell, has 58. Ben Rhodes at 51, so it's a pretty big rookie class this year, so it's going to see who can outlast who in the truck series, because it is a tough series. Competition is fierce. See if we have our truck series winner. We We do. Matt Crafton, a few words to say after his win at the Monster on Friday.
Okay, we're going to hear from our race winner and his race team, and that's Matt Crafton. And he gets his 12th career NASCAR Camping World Truck Series victory, his first win in 2016, and your first victory here at the Monster Mile. That's quite a trophy you're going to take home, too. So congratulations to that, the driver of the number 88 Chi-Chi's Menards Toyota for the Thorsons. And he's joined up here by team general manager David Pepper and crew chief Junior Joyner. Congratulations to this race team. That was a heck of a race out there. Matt, talk about the way you came up through the field and then the battle that you had there in the closing laps with the 51 truck.
Oh, it was a great race. I mean, I had a lot of fun. This is honestly one of my favorite racetracks, and to not win here as long as I have, as long as it's taken me, it's that much sweeter, to be honest. I mean, I've taken some really, really, really hard hits here. I've separated my shoulder. I mean, I've done a lot of things. I've rung my bell a few different times, and to have this Menards Tundra as good as it was today and as bad as it was yesterday, it just shows the team that I have that makes these things fast and makes it so fun to drive. And the 51, I knew that I had a class after racer behind me, and I felt that I had a better truck than him. I could pull out a little bit, and I would just try to pace myself at that pace and not let him catch me, and didn't want to overdrive my stuff and have a little bit just in case we had another yellow flag if I could take off again. And he would catch me, and I'd pull back away, and he'd catch me. And it was just one of those mirror games and just having enough at the end to be able to put the same victory lane.
There's your race winner, Matt Crafton, talking about the competition with driver of the number 51, Daniel Suarez. Of course, Suarez drives for I think it's either Joe Gibbs or Kyle Busch, to be exact. He's sponsored by Aris. It's a Toyota. You know, it's Gibbs equipment under there. And that's what he meant, Crafton meant by a top-notch competitor. Into the Xfinity race on Saturday, the Ollie's Bargain Outlet 200, of course, another round in the Dash for Cash. Where they ran the 240 lap heats and then the final segment of 120 laps for a total of 200 miles. It was Eric Jones driving the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. Another Toyota. Seems like Toyota is dominating. Second place, Darrell Wallace Jr. in a Roush Ford Mustang. Finishing second, Alex Bowman was third. Justin Allgaier, who's driving the number 7 for Junior Motorsports this year, getting some good equipment. Finally, Ty Dillon, number 3, 5th. Elliott Sadler, another Junior Motorsports driver, the number 1 Chevy, was 6th. Joey Logano filling in the 22 seat for Roger Penske, the 7th, 8th. Matt Tift, who runs in the Truck Series, driving the number 18. Finished 8th. Daniel Suarez, who finished 2nd in the truck race, and another Gibbs Toyota in the 19, was 9th. And rounding out the top 10 was Brennan Poole. He's a rookie. So you have 2 rookies in the top 10, the winner being 1, and Brennan Poole in the number 48, finishing 10th. The race took 58 minutes to run. I guess they only counted the last 120 lap segment because it was under an hour. You never run 200 miles in under an hour. 120? Yeah, average speed 122.8. So I was close. The race, they call it 120 laps, so it was the final heat that they based the standings on. The other two just guaranteed the top qualifiers to the Dash for Cash finale, which will be coming up. Margin of victory, 1.43 seconds. That wasn't that close. Jones led twice for 76 laps of that segment, leading the most laps. He is a nationwide, listen to me, old school, Xfinity Series regular, so he got 5 bonus points, which is a rarity. Usually it's a Cup guy winning, so good to see a Xfinity regular clean house. There were 2 cautions for 10 laps. Pretty clean for 120. Anything at the Monster Mile where you have a low amount of cautions is a pretty good deal. 4 lead changes amongst 3 drivers. Allgaier, Dylan, Bowman, and Jones. Allgaier was on the pole, actually, so he took the green in the lead. So in the top 10, setting up the chase, it's Elliott Sadler in first, Daniel Suarez second, Ty Dillon third, Justin Allgaier fourth, Eric Jones fifth, Brendan Gaughan sixth, Brendan Jones, 7th. Brendan Poole, 8th, 9th. Darrell Wallace Jr., and 10th. Another Roush Fenway driver, Ryan Reed, who I've actually had on the show before. Check back a couple years. I got to go digging into the podcast's archives and fish it out. I have to do a lot of... Sorry, I can label it of which guest we had that day. Ryan Reed, battling diabetes, was our guest that week, the one week we were on. We talked about that, and as a driver in intense heat, being able to what you go through in a race car, having to watch your blood sugar because you do a lot of sweating in there. So got some audio from Eric Jones after his win, so let's go right to that.
Okay, we're going to hear from our race winner, our Dash for Cash winner, Eric Jones. And Eric drives the number 20, Reeser's Fine Foods Toyota, Joe Gibbs Racing, his 4th career NASCAR Xfinity Series win, his 2nd of 2016, his 2nd Dash for Cash victory of 2016. You've qualified for the chase in about every which way you can. So congratulations on another great effort today. He's joined by his crew chief, Chris Gabehart. Chris, congratulations. Eric, let's hear from you. Certainly no easy task out there today. That 88 car was awfully tough, as were several others. Just talk about how you translated maybe what you learned in the main, or excuse me, in the heat and into the main, and how that maybe helped you get to victory lane.
Yeah, I learned a lot in the heat. I think we both did, Chris and I. And, you know, wasn't sure after the heat what we'd be facing kind of for the feature or the main. We had something going on where the car was just pretty rough. as rubber built up on the track. So kind of fought through that and really made some good adjustments to, I guess you could say, crutch that a little bit and fix some of the things that were coming along with the with that. And we weren't great on the long run. We were good enough. But the 88 was definitely a little bit better than us, I'd say, after 35 or 40 laps. But with it coming down to a short run, I knew we were in a really good spot. I just wasn't sure about how many people were going to stay out or pit. And fortunately enough, people stayed out on that last caution that just let us have enough of a gap for tires to stay out front and bring home the win.
And, Chris, just talk about maybe some of the adjustments you might have made after the heat race to the main, how that maybe translated over, and then also your thoughts about what were going through your mind, obviously, on that last caution and you know, what went into that.
Well, Dover's so unique in that it takes a long time in practice for it to really rubber up. And once it does start to rubber up, the characteristics of the track and your car really change a lot. So right towards the end of practice, we had a couple of things creep up that we were a little nervous about, but we were so fast and really happy with the balanced car. We decided to race something similar and crept up again in the heat race. And Eric gave some really good feedback and allowed me to really get aggressive with some adjustments after the heat and continue to be aggressive on the one stop we had in the race. And he just does such a great job with feedback and figuring out how to adapt to what he's got. As far as the call there at the end, it's, you watch enough races at Dover, you really got to leave him out right there and let him have the clean air and do what he needs to do. And he kept the tires cleaned up and got a great restart, and that was that.
Of course, the number 88 they were talking about was third-place finisher Alex Bowman. That's a junior motorsports car powered by Hendrick, of course. Bowman led once for 33 laps, half as many as your race winner, Eric Jones. But Jones dominating and winning two of the Dash for Cash events. So when the money's on the line, you go with your money guy. I guess you can't argue with Dennett, Eric Jones and he's been getting it done. Now, the Cup Series race, that was another matter. 3 hours, 39 minutes, 29 seconds, average speed, 109 miles an hour. Matt Kenseth getting his first win of the year at a place he's made his first ever Sprint Cup Series start. The Monster Mile, but it wasn't easy for him. Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott both took turns battling each other, took turns trying to pass Kenseth to get their first win of the season. Of course, Chase Elliott, that battle between Elliott and Larson allowed Kenseth to get a bit of a lead, not much of a lead, 1.87, because they were able to close up behind Kenseth, and they got single file towards the end, and I guess they just ran out of laps trying to make a get ready to make a run for that. There was a red flag displayed on lap 360. On lap 354. The ensuing start on lap 359 caused a massive Talladega Daytona-style pileup. 18 cars, including Jamie McMurray, Kevin Harvick, Trevor Bayne, Denny Hamlin, Casey Mears, Clint Boyer, Greg Biffle, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, the 27 of Paul Menard, Ryan Newman, Eric Almirola, A.J. Allmendinger, Jimmy Johnson, Martin Truex Jr., Dale Jr., and the 95, I think that was I think that's Matt DiBenedetto, if I'm not sure. Michael McDowell, excuse me, involved in that race. What happened was, we're talking less than 50 laps to go here. The 34 spun in turn two, bringing out the yellow on lap 44. They got back going. And then on lap 356, with 46 laps to go, with Jimmy Johnson and Kenseth up front, they had taken two tires. Everybody else behind them took four to the inside, Johnson to the outside, which was the preferred area of restart at the Monster Mile. When the flag went green, Johnson took off, went to shift in the third. He was holding the lead on Kenseth, but maybe a nose. But the car wouldn't go in the third. And we're not talking very far here. We're talking from the right by the flag stand going in turn one. And Johnson didn't go anywhere. Martin Truex, who allowed Carl Edwards to pass him, so on pit road, so that he could start to the outside, wound up behind Johnson, and push come to shove when it Johnson's car didn't go in the gear. Martin Truex wound up getting behind him and pushing him, but it stacked everybody else up, and lo and behold, you had an 18-car pileup. And needless to say, the red flag was displayed, which made that caution only three laps long, but they had to do a lot of cleanup. As soon as I saw it, I said red flag. At Dover, whenever you get a mess like that, you're going to have to throw the red flag. That being said, took out my pick of Jimmy Johnson. He was in the prime position to get his 11th win at the Monster Mile, but he wound up with all that mess in the 25th spot. So that allowed Kyle Larson, Matt Kenseth, Chase Elliott, Casey Kane, Kurt Busch, and all to get away. So when all was said and done, of course, Kenseth have taken the checkered flag, his first win of the season, putting him in the chase, and locking up the last spot for this coming weekend's Sprint All-Star Race. Tried to get Miss Sprint Cup on, but PR rep they have was out of the office. Actually, the one in the contact I had was no longer the contact, and the one who took over have got an email back, out-of-office email, one of those auto-generated things, saying that he would be unavailable till today. So that being said, is that wasn't going to happen today for today's interview, because it's always nice to have Miss Sprint Cup on, talk about the Sprint All-Star event. Whether it be Juliana White, who's back from my area in New Jersey, within a few miles of each other there, and Madison Martin, who was in victory lane with Matt Kenseth yesterday. She got the photo op, so. But I'm going to line one of them up for next week. So, not going to make any picks this week. In the points, Kevin Harvick still leads. Kyle Busch with three wins. He's still the top seed at the end of the year. Okay, as far as the top ten go, was Kenseth. Kyle Larson, second. Great race. I thought he had a shot at it. Chase Elliott came on strong in that last 46 laps. He got around Larson for a little bit, and then Larson got him back. There was a battle there going back and forth. The 42 and the 24, it's a It's one of those things where the number on the car is just inverted for the other driver, and they were going back and forth there, which allowed Kansas to get enough of a lead to where he was able to hold them off by a little bit, not much. So Casey Kane went out up fourth, Kurt Busch fifth, Brad Keselowski sixth. He had some body damage on his car. Denny Hamlin, minor damage from that big wreck, seventh. Ryan Blaney, eighth. Ninth, Martin Truex. He just had a front end pushed in a bit. Scrambled for ninth. He led twice for 47 laps. And 10th, Trevor Bayne. Rounds out the top 10. Danica Patrick, a good run, finishing 13th after starting 31st. Of course, qualifying was rained out. And Harvick, who started from the pole, led three times for 117 laps. But wound up in that carnage on lap 354. So there you have your race event. We'll get Matt.
Okay, we're going to roll right into hearing from today's race winner and his crew chief. And that's Matt Kenseth. He drives the number 20 Dollar General Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's joined by his crew chief, Jason Ratcliffe. This is Matt's 37th career NASCAR Sprint Cup Series victory. This is the third time he's won here at Dover. His first win in 2016, which secures him a berth in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. Congratulations, Matt. And it's also the win today is the 135th NASCAR Sprint Cup Series victory for Joe Gibbs Racing, which ties the organization with Roush Fenway for the third most wins in NASCAR Sprint Cup Series history. So congratulations to the number 20 team, to Joe Gibbs Racing. Coach, come on up and join us. What a race out there today.
Well, you guys are going to applaud for Coach or something. So, I mean, wins he has, third most all time.
That's right.
It was just silent.
Yeah. But, Matt, talk about this race today. I tell you, I think the fans certainly saw quite a show today.
I think all year they've seen some good finishes, that's for sure. So we had kind of an up-and-down day. A lot of it just depended on track position for us. I felt like we were at times we were pretty good. Other times we were kind of off. Like I said, a lot of it depended on track position. We had one run that was really, really good, and then never quite got it there again. So it was one of those days where everything lined up for us at the end of the race. We were the only one left out there with two, and we got those couple short runs to kind of cycle everybody else's tires and give us a lot of caution laps to get our tires cooled down. So it all worked out for us, kind of opposite as I feel like it's been going the last couple of months. We've had really fast race cars, and we've been in position to win a lot. This wasn't our fastest car by any means this year, but we're able to do the right things and be there at the end of the race and be able to pull it off.
And
there you have your race winner, Matt Kenseth, driver of the number 20 Dollar General Toyota, taking the win, giving us his thoughts. Anyway, that's our show for tonight. Don't forget to tune in for the Sprint All-Star Race. Oh, what was that? Which will be this Saturday night. The Sprint Showdown will be Friday night, actually. That'll lock in your last qualifiers for the Sprint All-Star Race. That comes on at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1, and Saturday night at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1 as well, the Sprint All-Star Race. And then after that, NASCAR's longest race of the year on Memorial Day weekend. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live here on blogtalkradio.com. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.